Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven. Stay driven.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Howdy, folks, and welcome to Mavericks Comic Roundup, the world's greatest comic book podcast hosted by a masked wrestling cowboy hero. I thank you very much for tuning in on this Friday night here on the Totally Driven Radio Network. Glad you could tune in. It's been a fun week in comics, and we got a lot to talk about this week. A little later on, we're going to have Princess Maria in, the Dancing Princess herself, who's going to review Dance Class, a graphic novel series from Paper Cuts Comics, and she will be calling in to review that book, and we'll have more. First, let's get into some comic book news. This weekend, as we speak, well, actually, it's probably wrapped up for the night, but New York Comic Con is this weekend, and it's in full swing. There's going to be a lot of news and information pouring out of there. Started with a preview night last night. It's been going strong all day, and there's a lot of news going on. And some breaking news. As I was preparing the show, I actually had to add a few items that I thought were fun. So we'll be getting into that as we get going. New York Comic Con has become a big, big Comic Con for comic book publishers because San Diego has become so Hollywood enamored, and you get so big that a lot of the comic book people have been saving a lot of their information for New York. And it's a good time to get into that. So some of the stuff that's come out of New York Comic Con already, the United States Postal Service and DC Comics had a first day of issue dedication ceremony today to celebrate the new Wonder Woman stamps. Wonder Woman is getting her own series of stamps from the U.S. Postal Service, and they're a part of Wonder Woman's 75th anniversary. I expect we'll be hearing a lot more about the Wonder Woman 75th anniversary from DC. I know they did a big, big event a few years ago with Superman and just recently Batman, where they had a special day with events and things all throughout the year. So we'll probably get a lot more information in regards to Wonder Woman's 75th anniversary. She looks good for her age, doesn't she? Moving right along, Lego has released information on a new DC Superhero Girls Lego sets. The sets are done very similarly, if you're familiar, with the Lego Friends princess sets that have been coming out. The minifigures are a little bit different in that they're not the typical block figures. They're a little more stylized, a little more girly, if that's the right word. So they're coming out. They've had several things. That was one of the big first things right off the bat. Lego got involved in New York, and that was one of the first big announcements coming out of it. Staying on the Superhero Girls theme, it's crazy. The DC Superhero Girls is becoming a huge thing for DC and DC Entertainment, and they have actually announced two more. A digital first comic book series called Past Times at Superhero High, and that'll be a digital first series that'll be collected later, and a graphic novel coming out, Wonder Woman Summer Olympus 2017. Both will be hitting stores relatively soon. I just was reading up on the DC Superhero Girls line of toys and action figures and graphic novels. It's already coming close to $1 billion for DC Entertainment. So it's been a big hit, and it's going to continue to go. And right now in McDonald's, one last piece of Superhero Girl news, Happy Meal toys for both girls and boys. You've got Superhero Girls for the girls' side, or the boys' side, I imagine. It's the 21st century. We can get progressive. The other sampling is Justice League Action, which is based on the upcoming Cartoon Network animated series. Justice League Action, we'll be covering that on the show as we get more information, because it's rapidly approaching showtime for that. Batwoman is going to be getting a new ongoing series from DC Comics in March. It's going to set itself up in a story arc in Detective Comics, where she's been a main character for quite a while now. It sounds like I've got a lot of DC news, and that's because DC kind of picked Friday night to release a lot of their information, but we do have some interesting Marvel news. Marvel Studios has announced the Marvel Studios Hero Acts, a new charitable initiative focused on bringing help and hope to children who need it the most. It sounds very similar to what they did with Star Wars, A Force for Change. It's a fan initiative where they're encouraging you to support and get behind special charities and functions. The first one is already set up. If you're interested, you can go to MarvelStudiosHeroActs.com for information and an introductory video with Doctor Strange himself, Benedict Cumberbatch, who kicked everything off and talks about the first initiative from Marvel Studios Hero X. In other news, we have this is some of the just breaking news that I was talking about. We got, hold on one second there, folks. All right, we have Batman 66. We talked last week that there is a Batman 66 animated movie coming, and it's debuting. Well, we've got more Batman 66 news that just broke at New York Comic Con. Batman, the fans should be excited about two new projects that were just announced. Batman 66 meets Wonder Woman 77. That is two of the digital first series that have been. They started with Batman 66. It's been very successful. It's based on the Adam West series. It's been a comic book. It ran as a regular series for a while, and now it's kind of progressed into a series of mini-series crossovers. They've done Green Hornet. They're currently in the middle of Steed and Peele, the TV Avengers. And now they're going to do Wonder Woman 77, which is based on the Linda Carter Wonder Woman series. And this is really, really cool, because anybody who grew up on these two shows always kind of thought, wouldn't it be cool if? And they're very set in different times, obviously 66 and 77. But I still think the tone and the feel of the show is going to make for a really interesting miniseries. It's going to debut digitally in November if you're on Comixology or the DC Comics app, and in print come January. So you print fans will be able to get a hold of it. You'll just have to wait a little longer, because as they release the digital series in print, they tend to do it in smaller parts and arcs. So then they collect it in January, and then it's going to be a mini-series. Also today at New York Comic Con was the screening of Batman Return to the Caped Crusader. The world premiere screening took place there before the October 10th big event that I was talking about. And really awesome news just came out of it. They're already announced a sequel to Batman Return to the Caped Crusader, featuring the voices of Adam West and Burt Ward. They got Julie Newmar involved. Well, the sequel is going to include the voice talent of William Shatner. Captain Kirk himself is going to be voicing Two-Face in the animated sequel to that movie. And that is so, so over-the-top cool. I was so excited to hear that, because I love William Shatner. I love Captain Kirk. He's kind of in the same era as the Adam West Batman as far as star power goes. They're both icons. And the fact that he's going to be playing Two-Face, who was never actually included in the Batman 66 series. Now, there was a lot of rumors and stories that, you know, Two-Face was turned down because he was too grotesque and they didn't think he would play well on TV. Whatever the real story is, he was never included. Now, there was a script for Two-Face for the Batman series, and it was turned into a comic book, Batman 66, The Lost Episode. And they turned it into a comic one-shot about a year or so ago. But this is going to be Adam West playing Two-Face, and he's going to be in the sequel movie. Now, I don't know if they're going to adapt, the news just broke, if they're going to adapt the Lost Episode or if they're just going to do something completely different, if they're bringing back the other characters, the other villains, I don't know. It's just a bit of information that just broke. And one more piece of information, a little bit of news, that Justin, Marvel Comics is getting in on the announcement, and this one cracked me up. Starting in January, there's going to be a 5-issue miniseries called Deadpool the Duck. And the only thing I really know about it at this point is that it's going to be a mashup of Deadpool and Howard the Duck. So this is going to be very much one of the strangest comic book series out there, and I'm very curious to see more about this show. More about this episode. So, that's all the news that I have up to this point. There's going to be breaking news possibly through the next hour or so. If not, we're probably going to have a lot more to talk about next week because we still have all day Saturday and all day Sunday, Marvel and Image and Dynamite. A lot of them haven't gotten in on the announcement trains. So I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more about that as we go, and I'll be keeping you up to date here on the Comic Roundup. So getting into new releases for this week, hot pick of the week, the book that I was really, really cool, Champions number 1 from Marvel Comics, and you'll be able to read my complete review on that on the Comic Universe Facebook page that I'm now providing reviews for. They did a big launch for Champions number 1. Marvel really put a lot behind it. There was a launch party, and what they did there is they included a lot of incentives to get you to buy the book. There were many, I think 10 or 11, I think I heard, possibly more variant covers by different artists, and they also had standees of many of the Champions characters. You got this week with issue 1. You got standees of Spider-Man, the Miles Morales version, Viv, the Vision's daughter, and the Totally Awesome Hulk, the new version of the Hulk, 3 of the characters. And from what I understand, issue 2 come with 3 more standees, including Young Cyclops, Miss Marvel, and Nova, who looks like they're going to round out the main team there. So that was the big comic book release for this week from Marvel. Other things that came out in the Civil War II tie-in department, we had Invincible Iron Man 14, Squadron Supreme 12, and Spider-Man 2099 16, all released this week. Other Marvel comics of note. Now, remember, when I do these new releases, I don't cover everything that comes out. I just try to get some things that caught my eye and I think are pretty cool to check out. Death of X number 1, a huge mystery series that probably is going to lead to the big X-Men versus Inhumans miniseries coming up soon. Deadpool, Back in Black, number 1. Jessica Jones, number 1, that I'm going to be doing a review for on Totally Driven coming up. The return of Jessica Jones to her gritty alias feel, kind of tying her back to how she was introduced. The same art team that was on the original Alias. And it kind of, I think they wanted to get her back to where she was for fans of the show. Wanted a little more of that Jessica. In recent years in the mainstream Marvel Comics, she's kind of been a mother and wife to Luke Cage and hasn't been front and center. And I think they're trying to capitalize on the success of the show. Speaking of which, there was also Cage number 1 that came out this week, but it had very little to do with the Netflix series that we talked about last week. It was done by Andy Tarkovsky, I think. I always mess up that name. I'm so sorry, but he's an animator. He did the Clone Wars micro series, Powerpuff Girls, stuff like that. And He did a version of Cage that was very reminiscent of the 70s version. He had the yellow shirt and the chain and tiara, and it was done in a very stylized, animated way. Disney Kingdoms from Marvel, The Enchanted Tiki Room number 1 came out this week. I haven't read it yet, but it's on my review list, so I'll be getting to that. You'll be able to read that soon. Deadpool Mercs for Money number 1 was relaunched. And then over in other comics, we had the Ninth Doctor, Doctor Who, number 6. Walking Dead 159, the comic juggernaut, The Walking Dead, still going strong. Spawn 266, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles universe, number 2. Back to the Future, number 5. Uncle Scrooge 19. And another one of them crazy crossovers that we've been seeing a lot. I think I mentioned last week Tarzan on the Planet of the Apes. Well, this week we've got Big Trouble in Little China meets Escape from New York number 1. And I haven't read through that one yet, but it seems very over the top. Over in DC, we've got another one of them crazy crossovers that came out of this week. This is, if you were a kid in the 80s, this is the one you talked about, fantasized about, debated on. Masters of the Universe number 1 meets Thundercats. That's Masters of the Universe meets Thundercats number 1, I should have said. That one came out this week. It flew off the shelves, and it looks like it's going to be a popular miniseries there. Over in the DC Comics, continuing in the DC Comics world of things, if you're following the Night of the Monster Men Batman crossover, Batman number 8 and Nightwing number 6, parts 4 and 5 of that miniseries respectively came out. The spoiler in the title, Death of Hawkman number 1 ship. It looks like they're killing Hawkman again. Justice League 6, Harley Quinn 5, Future Quest number 5. I mentioned that in the first show, I believe. That is the miniseries that reunites a lot of the Hanna-Barbera characters, including Johnny Quest, Space Ghost, the Herculoids, and many other characters in a huge universal mashup of those classic Hanna-Barbera characters. Superman number 8, Green Arrow number 8, and Apollo and Midnighter number 1 are some of the books that caught my attention this week. If you want to check them out, head to your local comic store and see if they can hold a copy for you. If you don't have a comic store in your area, you can always go digitally. I know it's a bad word for a lot of paper comic book fans, but it is a good way out there if you don't have one. So that wraps up the new comics and the comic news for right now. We're going to take our first commercial block, and when we come back, Dancer Reads Dance Class, our very first segment.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage Group. Advisors Mortgage Group is a mortgage banker and loan our own money to first lien mortgage loans. We have built a platform for a seamless and stress-free mortgage process, which remains our number one goal for all of our customers. We understand that success cannot be obtained without teamwork and communication, two of our most important strengths. If you're looking to apply for a loan or simply have some questions, please don't hesitate to give Anthony Muscarella a call at 732-749-3333, extension 12, who, by the way, has been recognized by Mortgage Executive Magazine as being one of the top 1% of originators in America. That number again, call Anthony Muscarella at 732-749-3333, extension 12, where we tailor our loans to meet your needs. Advisors Mortgage Group is an equal housing opportunity lender licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Branch NMLS number 173453. Loan officer NMLS number 111400.
I can't hear him. I cannot. Hello? Hi. Good, how are you? Yeah. Couldn't hear you through the phone. Yeah. Oh, okay. That's good. I cannot hear on the phone, but I can hear you. Yeah, I can hear you. I remember that we would come in after dance and sit in the studio. And actually, one of my friends came in and helped me do it. And we sat there and we reviewed the comic. And Paper Cut Comics actually recognized our videos and posted them on their website, which I thought was really cool.
That was really cool.
Do
you think you have Paper Cut
I thought it was very cool and very nice of them. So thank you, Paper Cut Comics, if you're listening right now for doing that. I hope this one gets recognized.
Now, how's that? I think I figured out the problem. All right.
I hear
Sorry
you.
About that, folks. If you haven't, yeah, she could hear me because she's in the room. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
All right. So we had a weird dead spot on the air. I think you were getting through, but I was. All right. Now we're all set. Sorry about that, folks. Technical difficulties. I'm going to back the train up a little bit because I don't think anybody heard me. So just hold on a second, Maria.
All right.
I apologize for that, folks. Thank you, Mike, for checking in. Mike's always in the background there. You got to love the Totally Driven family. We've always got each other's backs. Welcome back to the show. Sorry about the little bit of technical difficulty, a little bit of glitch there. Recap, and you probably heard some of Maria who could hear me, but she couldn't. Apparently I wasn't heard on the radio. I'm not sure what the issue was there, but it straightened out. Many years ago, I hosted a comic book show called The Comic Book Squad. And that show, one of the things we did was try to encourage comics for just about everybody, something I very much believe. You've heard me say it on the show, comics are for everybody. in the comic book squad, we had a show called Dancers Read Dance Class. It was a little web show in which Maria, Princess Maria, who's here on the line with us now, and her friends would review the graphic novel series from Paper Cuts Comics, Dance Class. And it was about a bunch of girls who lived and loved dance, much like Maria is a competitive dancer for many, many years. And we thought it would be a cute idea for her and her friends to review the series. And it was a very well-received series show. Paper Cuts Comics got on board. They shared it on their blog and on their website. We were very excited about that, and it got her a little bit of publicity. But now we're back on the new radio show, and we thought now we'd kind of bring back Dancer Reads Dance Class in a different way. And we're bringing it back as just a bit of a segment we're going to have here on the show. Every couple of weeks we'll have you on to review another of the series. And today we're going to talk about the first episode, first issue. Are you there?
I am here. Hi. Can you hear me?
There you are. Okay.
All right. Hi.
So we're talking about issue one of Dance Class.
All right, so issue one is called Dance Class, So You Think You Can Hip Hop, and it, like you said, it's by Paper Cuts Comics. It is mainly about a bunch of girls who dance at the studio, and they have real-life experiences, and they are crushing on the new hip-hop teacher, KT, and we see... As a dancer, I can look through it, and I see a lot of things that I do when I'm in the dance studio. So I found
okay,
that
okay, so
really
so as you were reading, you did see you see things that you and your friends would do. So clearly the people who wrote it know a little bit about dance.
They do. They definitely do, because if you look through, there's one girl that loves to eat different foods and stuff, and I know all of me and my friends, we all love food, and practicing ballet in your math class. So there's a lot of real life things that you will see girls do in dance class, and then I love that they brought it into the book. Or comic.
So that's pretty cool. So the leads, there's three girls in the lead. It's Julie, Lucy, and Aaliyah.
That is right. And to a lesser extent, Carla, but she's still
okay.
Three main are Julie, Lucy, and Aaliyah.
Okay. What can you tell us about the three girls?
I can tell you that Julie is like the prima ballerina of the group. She gets the lead roles. She's the popular one. She's the pretty one. Lucy is the one that loves food and desserts and pastries, and she also dances, so it's funny there. And then Aaliyah, she's the kind of spunky, sassy one. If somebody's mean to her, she'll throw it right back at them. But she's a really good friend to everybody else, and they're close friends, and they all hang out with each other and help each other and dance together.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, and it's called Dance Class, so they spend a lot of time in the studio. Is there any particular type of dance they study, or is it kind of like they do everything?
In the first issue, they mainly study ballet, classical ballet, and then there's some contemporary mixed in. And then that's just mainly the girls, but there's another class that was introduced in this comic that is for the boys, and it's a hip-hop class, which brings in a new dance teacher that all the girls are having crushes on.
All right, and that's the hunky KT, as it says in the write-up for the show.
Yeah. He's all the girls seem to be crushing on him and daydreaming. And on the cover, it has the mix of the classical ballet and the hip-hop. And let's just say the teacher is a little bit older than him, or a lot of it. Older than them. So.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very funny.
Very funny. And you've been a fan of the series for a while.
I have been. Because it's just very fun series. with a lot of different elements of dance.
And what can you tell us about the art style? Is it very realistic? Is it cartoony?
It is very cartoony. It's not, it's pretty realistic, but it's very cartoony still. They don't get into the very many details. It's just kind of characters. And it's not like cartoony where they don't have noses, but it's not like realistic that you see every little bump on their face. But it's very funny.
Okay, and how's the technique in the drawing?
Better or worse. As I'm looking through, they'll do some moves and they're not turned out, but it's kind of hard to turn out when you're drawing.
It's just a drawing, exactly.
Yeah.
So.
It gets the point across, though. It's very funny.
And the book itself, is it a series of gags? Is it one long story? How does it play out? Is it like comic strips like Peanuts, or is it?
It's one long story, and it all follows one element, and that's them working up to the big show at the end. But there is different nods, like they'll throw Julie's sister in, and they'll throw different skits in like the Peanuts have. But it's mainly one big story.
Okay, so it all leads to a big thing, which is the big dance. And they have a big dance at the end. And what's that all about?
They do. So all year they practice and they rehearse for the big finale show at the end. And it's like their recital, but they do a classical ballet. This year's with Sleeping Beauty, and everybody had to audition, which brings in some of the drama with Carla and Julie and friends. So it's one big show at the end, and at the end of the book you actually do get to see the show playing out and what happens backstage, like the teacher's pep talks and what the characters think when they're on stage and stuff like that. What happens when the curtain's closed.
Very interesting. And who would you recommend this book for?
I would recommend this book for really everybody. Anybody who is interested in it, anybody who likes comics, anybody who likes dance. On the back of the book, it pretty much grabs it perfectly. An all-new graphic novel series designed for anyone who loves dance, who loves heat. So it's basically for anybody. And as a dancer, I love it. And I think anybody who doesn't know that much about dance will love it too, because it's not, it's like, it does have some dance elements to it, but it's not all dance. It's got some, when they're in school, it's got different things like dancers do. And if you know a dancer, you will see them doing their ballet positions when they're in the math class. So anybody who really likes dance will enjoy the book, I think.
And that's one thing, as the father of a dancer, one thing I did notice when I was flipping through the book, taking a look at it, is there are some things in there that I have seen you and your friends do, you know, standing in ballet positions when you're brushing your teeth is very common in this house. Something I've seen quite a bit. So, very cool. Dance Class Volume 1, So You Think You Can Hip Hop, is available for $10.99 on papercutscomics.com, or you can go through Previews Magazine and have it delivered to your local comic store, and that's where we got ours.
That is, and we have the other books, too, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah, there's quite a few of these now. That was Volume 1 that came out, and They have, I think, up to 9 volumes or so?
I believe so. It's like 9 or 10. We only have the first 4, but we will be getting the other couple of films.
Yes. Volume 2 is Romeo's and Juliet. Volume 3 is African Folk Dance Fever. Volume 4 is A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Paris. 5 is To Russia with Love. And 6 is A Merry Old Christmas, A Christmas Tale. 7 is Saturday Night Fever, I think. I'm trying to read it off their site here as I go. And 8 is Snow White and the 7 Dwarfs. School Night Fever.
Yeah.
On Saturday night. And then Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
I believe that is, yeah.
And then number 9, looks like the most recent one, is Dancing in the Rain.
Ooh, I didn't see that one yet.
That's a new one now that is on the website as I went down the list looking to see what's available. So that
that we haven't gotten to.
Yeah, and you will be back many times.
I will.
To talk about these different books.
They're very funny. I really enjoyed them.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you. Fun reuniting with you over dance class.
It was. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And anything you want to say before you cut out for the night?
I just think they were very funny. I enjoyed them. A lot of things happen that I just did in real life, so very funny book. Very funny. Pick it up. It's very fun. It's a quick
read.
There
you go.
It's that long.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for calling in.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime, and we will talk to you when you come back for another episode of Dancer Reads Dance Class.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. That was Princess Maria with Dancers Read Dance Class. First of many segments, and they're not all going to be about dance class. We're going to try to get all kinds of people out there doing all kinds of comic book things. I was going to break for my second commercial, but I have had a caller on the line waiting patiently for many, many minutes, so I'm going to check in to see there. Caller, you're on the line. Thank you for your patience.
Not a problem. This is Magic Mike. How are you, buddy?
Oh, Magic Mike, how are you, sir?
All right, good, man. I'm enjoying the show, as always. Every Friday night, you're giving us some good stuff. I called to talk to you about Luke Cage, episode number 2.
Okay, I did catch number 2. I've actually caught the entire series, but okay, let's talk number 2.
Yeah, I'm up to number... It's been a busy week for me, you know, so I'm up to number 2. I got to tell you,
okay.
I really enjoyed number 2. But I think, you know, I think one of the characters should have not died so soon.
Man, that broke my heart. I don't know how many people have seen it. It's been on a week now, literally a week today. But I still don't want to spoil too much. But
well, before,
you know, when it happened.
Before we get into that, how about we talk about the outages that people were having? Luke Cage caused like the site to crash.
Yeah, that was crazy. So many people tuned in and watched it that they crashed Netflix, which I thought was absolutely nuts. I know these shows were getting popular, and but the buzz behind Cage was so big that it shut down Netflix for a while.
Yeah, I heard that last week, but thank God for me, it really didn't. I watched the first episode, and then I started watching. And then I started watching Jessica, the Jessica series.
Okay.
Which is a very good
series.
Yeah, which is really Jessica Jones, really, really good. So I got to see the Luke Cage in that, and then I watched the second episode, and I think it's going the right way. I like how they introduced the characters. And I like how they explain Pops and his life.
Yeah. Pops grew on me quickly. I think, one, because I have great affection for the actor who plays Pops. And getting into his backstory, very real, a very real backstory. And I think it added to the weight of the character and makes him almost a linchpin character for everything going forward.
I agree. as you know, and now we know why he lets the guys hang out in the shop and work for them, and you know now we got the story about why they call him Pops, and he's a you know he's one of the guys that he's one of the actors that we grew to love, and the character is just the perfect.
Yeah, he absolutely was. Is a great character. They did brilliant in casting, and the importance of his backstory and how it plays out, I'm sure, is going to be very pivotal to the series going forward if you haven't watched it. I do know people who are watching it one episode at a time, which is why I don't want to get into it. I know many of you have binge-watched it. I know I did. Mike's only watched one and two. I know a couple of my friends, they watch one a week, like a regular TV show. I didn't have that kind of control. I was like, give me more.
Yeah, well, you know what it is with me is two things. Number one, there's just so many other shows that I've been watching, and then of course, Walmart.com has been my downfall. So I've been getting some D's and stuff off of there. Like, you know, it's Halloween time, so I've been buying some Halloween DVDs, and the Rocky 40th series DVD came out, so I got them. So I've been concentrating on other aspects of the, you know, but I wanted to watch the two so I can call in tonight and talk about that. But also, I wanted your opinion on something, if I could ask your opinion.
Okay.
Okay. Have you ever bought comic books off of mycomicbookshop.com?
Have I purchased them from there? No, I
yes.
don't believe I have. I have done the Comixology thing for a while. I don't think that I've ever dealt with that site. I'm pulling it up just to make sure. No, I don't think I ever have. You can. It looks like you can get most of your Main Street comics right
oh,
off
yeah,
of there.
Oh, yeah, you can. No, but you can get comic books that go back. The reason why I'm asking you is because I was looking up some comic books, and I seen that the Star Wars, which was put out by Marvel in 1977, is actually all you could get a lot of their comic books.
Oh wow, that's pretty cool.
Some of those
are worth a pretty penny. We get some through the store once in a while, and some of them in good shape. The older ones are worth some money.
Yeah, you know, like the first issue, right now on the site, it goes for like over $1,000. But there were so many, there were so many different comic books, like, you know, like there's the Defenders, and you get so many, and even Luke Cage, you know, Hero for Hire. You know, it just amazes me how if you go back, you know, and you can get so many good comic books out there. But the Star Wars, I remember collecting the Star Wars when I was a kid, and I had about maybe, I don't know, 30 comic books from them.
Yeah, that was a popular series, and it ran for a while, and it was really cool because the first six issues was Star Wars. It was the movie, and then they got into their own tales, and it went on for a long time and did a lot of really neat things. I remember reading a bunch of them. I wasn't fanatical then. It was tougher for me to get comics when I was little, until I had my own money and transportation to get them. But I did. I would get them as gifts from time to time and different things, and I really enjoyed the Star Wars line.
Yeah, definitely. When I was a kid, we had so many comic books, you know, comic stores, bookstores, and I remember going to the comic bookstores and purchasing different you know, comics and what I like to read. And it wasn't until I was old, like, you know, in my 30s, to actually sit down and appreciate Star Wars. I liked Star Wars when I was a kid, but I didn't appreciate, you know, again, you're going from Star Wars to WrestleMania. So what would you watch? You know, if you're a wrestling fan, you're going to watch WrestleMania. So I never really got into the Star Wars. I got into the comics because I always read the comics. But then when I got older, it was like, here we go. I'm actually appreciating Star Wars. And I look forward to, you know, the new Star Wars movie that they have coming out, you know.
Yeah, and that's the thing about Star Wars. Like, when I grew up, when I was little, it was, for me, superheroes, and then Star Wars pretty much took over my life from one thing, and it was all Star Wars, and then it just went away. And we had the comics for a while, but after Return of the Jedi, a lot of that went away. So, you know, I did get into more mainstream comics, superhero stuff. I was into that when I was little, and I started reading comics, and, you know, obviously that helped, I think, springboard me into wrestling.
Well, you know, to know more about you, which you are the host, I don't think I've heard you talk about, like, what your favorite superheroes are, or what your favorite comics are.
Well, you know, it kind of comes out little by little. I grew up, my first superheroes that I was really into were the ones on TV, and because I didn't have comics when I was little. I had a handful. My parents would buy me comics. I get pictures. I was a big fan of Batman because of the television show, so he was literally the first comic I ever bought. My first job, I went and I bought a Batman comic, and it was a goofy comic at that. It was Batman and the Outsiders. The first one I bought with my own money. It was Batman and the Outsiders, and it was an Olympic tie-in where Maxi Zeus, of all supervillains, had gathered a group of god wannabes and challenged the Outsiders, and I swear I'm not making this up, challenged the Outsiders to a series of events very much like the Olympics.
That's cool. That's definitely something to look into.
I should probably go back and try to rebuy it just to, you know, see if I remember it. But it was the first comic, and it was so out there. And then, of course, it just sprungboard into other things. So I'm a big Batman fan. I'm a huge fan of the original Captain Marvel, Shazam. Big fan of that. Justice Society. As I get older, I like older heroes. I love the classic stuff, the Justice Society and, you know, things like that. Characters who are out. Captain America and Daredevil on the Marvel side, I'm a big fan. I like my heroes to be a little more vulnerable and streetwise, which is why I tend to go to the Batmans and the Daredevils more so than the Supermans and the Thors.
It's a sin that Daredevil, for me, I'd rather watch it on Netflix, but to watch the movie, it was like the worst Marvel movie I've ever seen in my life. Dude, and I went
there
to
were...
see it. I was going to say, I went to see it in 2003 when it came out, and it was god-awful.
There were a lot of really, really bad scenes in that movie. To the point where you had to stop and think that no one raised their hand and talk about how awful this whole scene was. Like, I'm thinking of the park scene where they have the fight in the park.
Right.
Not one point. All of those people working on that film and all of the editors and everyone involved, no one raised their hand and said, guys, this is crap.
Yeah,
that's a shame.
I was going to say that would have been horrible if they would have done that. I mean, that would have just been awful. I don't know, you know. And then, of course, for DC, the worst movie I've ever seen in my life, Green Hornet. That's because it was more comical.
Well, Green Hornet actually isn't DC. Green Lantern was DC. Green Hornet was the rights to that are now owned by Boom? Or Dynamite. Dynamite, I believe, owns the – Dynamite is the holder to the Green Hornet, the original. And that movie was a pile of crap.
I love the actor, right. I love the actor. Also, the Green Hornet's not DC, or it was at one time.
No, Green Hornet's not DC. They may have published some Green Hornet stuff. He's an independent license, and right now he's being licensed through Dynamite. Green Lantern, it might be who you're thinking of, with Ryan Reynolds.
No. I like the Green Lantern. No, I was thinking about the Green Hornet.
I thought
the film sucked.
And it was bad, that's
because I think it was more of... It was more comedic wise, you know. Seth Rogen, I know him from being a comedian, and he's funny, and he makes funny movies, and it just didn't go with the whole aspect of it. But you know, some stuff that we like and some stuff that you like. It's I like the Daredevil Netflix series. I love it. I think it's so good that it just caught my eye.
Oh, absolutely. And as a Daredevil fan, I got so excited about it. And this first series, it just blew me away. And, you know, they got so much right on that. And I think sometimes comics may work better in a long-form situation where you have time to stretch things out. And I think Daredevil... You know, because of the episodic nature of comics and how they're written today, Daredevil definitely worked better as a TV series where you had a slow burn. And they did a great job. I love the Netflix series. I love season two with the introduction of the Punisher and Elektra, and now they're talking season three. I'm very interested to see where they go with that.
I agree. I mean, there's so many different, there's so many different aspects. And then you look back... you go and you look back at Daredevil, and you're like, wow, you know, was Affleck the great choice? No, but he was really a good Batman. I liked him in Batman vs. Superman, whereas I really didn't like him as Daredevil. But Batman, it was just, I don't know, something was weird with that I actually liked him as Batman.
You know, he got a lot of praise. A lot of people, when they cast him as Batman, people had a stroke, especially after what happened with Daredevil. I mean, legitimately. I have friends who were comic book fans who had to go to the hospital when they announced Ben Affleck was going to be Batman. It was frightening.
Sorry, I'm laughing because you're funny the way you said that. Yeah, you're right. You're right 100%.
And then as people came out and the movie reviews started coming in, I kept hearing the same thing. The movie was absolutely awful, but Affleck was the best part of it. It's a weird reversal from the Daredevil thing. And, you know, most people praised his portrayal of Bruce Wayne and Batman. And it kind of reminded me of the Mike Keaton situation. When they cast him in the original Batman movie, again, people were not happy. And they didn't give it a chance. And instinctively, you're like, Michael Keaton can't be Batman. He's Mr. Mom. But,
right.
You know, he did a phenomenal job as a character, and Affleck did too. And I think sometimes people surprise you. And it's funny that this year we had Ben Affleck kind of redeem himself with comic book fans with his role in Batman, and Ryan Reynolds, who was slammed for his performance as Hal Jordan in Green Lantern, redeemed himself with Deadpool.
Oh, yes, definitely. I agree. I definitely agree with that 100%. You know what I was thinking about when the original, when the 1989 Batman came out, I was on a long line. It was about an hour and a half. And I was in a mall, and I was online to watch the Batman. And from then on in, Michael Keaton's been my favorite. Most people, I think the worst, believe it or not, the worst Batman ever was George Clooney. It was like one minute you see him on ER, and the next minute you see him as Batman.
Clooney himself said that he killed the Batman franchise at one point. He acknowledges that he was not the best Batman.
And Val Kilmer, Val Kilmer sunk too, I think.
I think I like Clooney better than Kilmer. Kilmer was so one-dimensional in that. Clooney, that script was awful. From start to finish, everybody in there should have got turned beating the director. There was just nothing good in that movie, and Whereas, you know, there were moments in Batman Forever, the Val Kilmer one, that were really, really good. And it had some god-awful moments, too. But it still had moments to – but Kilmer was just one-dimensional. He didn't have the depth that Michael Keaton had, whereas you could see there was so much more going on in Michael Keaton, who is my favorite Batman of the movie Batman. It's next to Adam West.
Oh, so look at that. So we agree on that, which is cool. One more thing that I wanted to say about the Batman, and sticking with the, you know, we're talking about the Batman, the Batman franchise. It's scary. What's scary to me is when the villains outshine the guy who's playing Batman. When it's so funny, like when you have Jim Carrey, just killing it and crushing it,
Oh, absolutely. He was so good as the Riddler. And it's a shame because Tommy Lee Jones was so bad as Two-Face. But
he sucked.
Jim Carrey just stole that whole movie from everybody. And
that's like
Chris
like,
O'Donnell was the mess as
that's
Robin.
That's like Jack Nicholson. He killed the Joker. He killed it as the Joker.
Oh, he really did. I liked his Joker so much. He's my favorite movie Joker. And I know it's sacrilege to say, but I thought he was the perfect Joker. He had the same
manicness. I almost got kicked in the face when I said that one time.
Oh, I know. People get very defensive over the Heath Ledger thing. And honestly, I am in the minority as far as those movies go. I thought Batman Begins was very, very good. But I was disappointed in The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises. I didn't think they were nearly as good as people said.
I agree with you. That's why I'm glad they got away from it and they made the Superman versus Batman, it would have been something to see if it was Christopher Reeve and Michael Keaton. That would have been awesome. I would have loved to have seen that. But of course, we didn't get it. We got the Henry Cavill.
Yeah, Cavill. I think it is.
And he's good.
He's
good. I like him as Superman. I'm really digging the Superman. But the Superman versus Batman versus Superman was really good. I liked it, and I like all those. I like all those movies. But for people that want to check it out, check out those movies. Check out the original Batmans. Check out what we're talking about. Check out if you like the Green Hornet, check that out. Just check out everything. Daredevil. If you want to agree with us, give Maverick a call this Friday night. Right here, 718-508-9883 is the number to talk to Maverick.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you for checking in again. I'm glad we followed up on Luke Cage and got to talk a little bit more. And that's the thing about comics and everything related. You're not wrong if you have an opinion. Some people love Dark Knight. Some people love the first Batman. Some people hated it. It's fun to talk and debate and discuss these things,
I'll tell you what, before I go, my friend, next week, if you're up for it, we could talk Luke Cage, episode number 3. I'll be interested in that.
Yeah, absolutely. Give it a call.
You're awesome. Maverick, thank you again. You're an awesome host. You definitely know what you're doing. Keep it up. Your show is great. Keep up your show. And if I can help you in any way, I'm listening to your show. So I'll send you a Facebook and you fix your issues. But a good show tonight, my friend. And be well. And yes, we are a family right here on Totally Driven Radio Entertainment. Take it easy. Have a good weekend, Maverick.
Thank you, sir. You too.
Okay, buddy.
All right, that was Magic Mike, the host of NFL Roundup, who precedes my show here on Roundup Night on Totally Driven, and he's also the host of Pro Wrestling Now with Mike Ferrara. You can catch that here on the Totally Driven Radio Network throughout the week. And also, thanks for helping me out with that technical difficulty, bringing it to my attention earlier in the evening. Hopefully it didn't mess you guys up too much. Let's do one more commercial block, and then we'll come back and tie this baby up for the night.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world.
You did fantastic. That's right. You can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com to keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Hey everybody, this is Nick Wilkinson from TV Nation and Totally Driven Radio and Entertainment. Sadly, each year, approximately 3.6 million children become victims of child abuse. My latest ebook, Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect, explores the long-lasting effects abuse can have on victims. Explore life after the abuse ends and how we cope with the tragedies of the past. Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect is available on Kindle for only 99 cents. And don't forget to check out my website, actingnotreacting.com, a common sense approach to teens in crisis. Let's work together and make this world a better place. And remember, stay driven.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage Group. Advisors Mortgage Group is a mortgage banker and loan our own money to first lien mortgage loans. We have built a platform for a seamless and stress-free mortgage process, which remains our number one goal for all of our customers. We understand that success cannot be obtained without teamwork and communication, two of our most important strengths. If you're looking to apply for a loan or simply have some questions, please don't hesitate to give Anthony Muscarella a call at 732-749-3333, extension 12, who, by the way, has been recognized by Mortgage Executive Magazine as being one of the top 1% of originators in America. That number again, call Anthony Muscarella at 732-749-3333, extension 12, where we tailor our loans to meet your needs. Advisors Mortgage Group is an equal housing opportunity lender licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Branch NMLS number 173453. Loan officer NMLS number 111400.
All right, welcome back to Mavericks Comic Roundup. I'd like to thank Magic Mike and Princess Maria for helping me out with the show tonight. Hope you enjoyed it. Also want to send all my thoughts and prayers out to all of my friends and family down in Florida. It sounds like they're getting walloped pretty hard with Hurricane Matthew. I hope you guys are all okay down there and know that we're all with you. For more information on my show, blogs, appearances, and more, go to MavericksRoundup.com. You can also follow me on Instagram at MavericksRoundup or on my Facebook page at MavericksRoundup. To read my weekly comic book reviews for Totally Driven, you can check out TotallyDrivenTV.com. And I'm also writing reviews for the Comic Universe in Folsom, Pennsylvania on their Facebook page. You can check it out at Comic Universe on Facebook. And you can check out my Star Wars Family podcast that has Princess Maria as one of the co-hosts, as well as Little Jedi Maggie. We call it Galactic Clubhouse, and you can go to galacticclubhouse.libsyn.com. We're also on Instagram and Facebook as Galactic Clubhouse. Next week, you already heard it, Magic Mike's going to call in. We're going to talk a little more Luke Cage. We have another new segment added to the show, Mr. Kringle's Toy Shop, and we're going to hear about some of the cool review on some upcoming toys and action figures in the comic book world. And we're probably going to talk a healthy dose of DC TV with the return of Flash, Legends of DC, as well as Arrow and Supergirl are all hitting the airwaves. And we didn't talk much about them yet, but we're definitely going to get there. I just wanted to wait till they all hit the airwaves. So you can also check out all kinds of other great stuff on the Totally Driven Radio Network throughout the course of the week. And that is all the show I have. Thank you for tuning in. Apologize for our technical difficulties there. We're still ironing out the bugs here on my end. It was totally my mistake. Nothing with Blog Talk or the show, so something we're working out. Until next time, keep reading comics and happy trails.